Sweet Sweet Garbage is a podcast in which two women, Jenna Redding and Bailey Von Schneider, take a look back at some of their favorite garbage films and television. Knowing them as we do, we have to ask the question, why do they find themselves enamored with this trash? Not only that, why do we ourselves root for the problematic woman? We love a good crazy stalker, male or female. Why is Bailey okay with the idea of Penn Badgley stalking her? Why does Jenna want to single white female every person she meets? Can they be feminists and still enjoy these indulgences? Let's find out.
Hey guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Sweet Sweet Garbage. This time we've got a 1998 teen sci-fi movie, and it's called Disturbing Behavior. So yeah, Bailey, do you want to get into it a little bit?
Yeah, so what it's about is the new kid in Cradle Bay, Washington, stumbles across something sinister about the town's method of transforming its unruly teens into upstanding citizens.
Yeah, and it's got baby James Marsden and baby Katie Holmes. And baby Nick Stahl. So everybody's a baby in this.
Yes, except James Marsden forever has always been sexy, but he definitely improved with age, in my opinion. And he looks so old in this movie.
It's crazy. It is crazy that they're teenagers and they don't... none of them actually really look like teenagers. And I guess we are used to that to some extent when it comes to a lot of like teen movies and like movies about people in high school.
True. Yeah, Katie Holmes was actually 19 in this though, so she was like actually in the realm of teenager.
Yeah,
in 98. But James Marsden was not. I'm pretty sure he was solidly 24, and he looks 24. Sometimes people can get away with looking younger. He was not one of them.
Right, right. It did make me, because I kept thinking about the OC, because in the OC...
Ben McKenzie was so old.
So old. So
I'm
crazy
sure
old.
Like, how old was he exactly? I need to, because I remember, like, knowing it and being like, oh my God, especially when she was like a fetus.
Yeah, she was actually like literally 15, yeah. Marissa.
Yeah, he was 25.
Yeah, but you know what's funny, though, is they, what's her name? The one who played Summer, Rachel Bilson, she now has an OC podcast that I've been listening to. Yeah, and they've been, like, talking about, like, the casting process, and one of the casting directors said that even though Marissa was actually 15, the thing was that when they would put her next to actual 15-year-olds, she looked like way older, that it was like such a weird thing. Yeah.
Okay, so 1 second. So Ben McKenzie was 24 when he was supposed to be 15,
right?
And like, he, like, the thing with Ben McKenzie that's interesting is that, like, I didn't think he looked inherently like that old on the OC, but then like he woke up one day and just like looked old.
Right.
Like, not on his run on the OC, but, like, my mom really liked Gotham. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm just like, whoa, he just, he, like, woke up one day and looked 42. He went from, like, looking 18 to, like, 42, like, within, like, a 5-year period of time.
Which is funny because, what's that, what's the other guy's name? The one who was, why am I blanking? Oh, Adam Brody. He still looks pretty young. Like, he's about the same age as Ben McKenzie.
Yeah,
but he definitely...
sure they were all in their 20s, except for, why am I blanking on her name? Marissa Cooper.
Yeah, Marissa, but I can't think of what her
Misha
real name
Barton.
Is. Yes.
Misha
yes.
Barton.
Misha. Yeah.
So misunderstood. But yeah, no, she was the only like actual teenager. So I get it though. Like, she was tall and pretty. That if you were trying to cast like a 17-year-old boy, he would probably look so young. Especially him supposed to be like the sexy outsider, like a 15-year-old, like 17-year-old sexy outsider to her, like 15-year-old, like sexy rich girl, like probably would have looked weird. So I get that. I get it.
But yeah, so this movie though. What it is it kind of, it turns out that it's a little bit more like, it's like the Stepford Wives. Like, I guess that's kind of, yeah, because basically they're at this school and like James Marsden, you know, I love that he's like kind of nerdy. Like, he's definitely like kind of.
Yeah, he wouldn't fit as good looking as he was. He still would not have fit in with like the whole jock.
Right.
Thing.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, though, there's this like group of kids in this school that like they're very, well, they're called the Blue Ribbons, and then they are, how would you describe them? They're kind of like, I don't want to say preppy, but like, I guess that's the way to say it, because like,
yeah, they were like straight laced, the preppy. They talk about how they're like, they live clean, and all that stuff. So like, they don't do drugs, they don't engage in premarital sex, they have bake sales, they're like everything you would want your child to be,
right? Guess, basically like a Girl Scout or Boy Scout, like that. Yeah, yeah. That vibe, basically.
For but sure. Like very straight laced, which is fine. Like, it works for some people. Like, I know people that are like that. It's just, and they don't come off like these kind of people, like, you know?
Right.
They're just, like, the opening scene, I felt like, especially if you're comparing this to, like, another, like, sci-fi teen movie from, I believe it was also 1998, The Faculty. The Faculty is fantastic.
I love that movie.
The Faculty is, like, up there with, like, I mean, Scream will forever be the best, but, like, The Faculty is, like, a close second, especially with, like, a great entrance into like what this genre is, what this movie is, what it's like gonna be about. You know everything about this movie like the first like 5 minutes into this movie. This movie was just like two people are like making out. I thought the dude may have been a homosexual because she's all like on top of him and he's like, oh no, like my fluids. Also, we don't learn anything, but that's fine. So he's talking about his fluids and she's like, I'll help you with your fluids, and she starts like blowing him and he's like into it, and then all of a sudden like we see his eyes and they like switch and he like snaps her neck and calls her slut.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, but it's weird because like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, it's like if they're supposed to have been changed, wouldn't they always have felt this way? And then all of a sudden it's like, all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, like, cool. You're blowing me for like a couple of minutes at this point. And then I like turn and I'm like, oh no, I've got to be prim and proper again. So it's like, do they fall in and out of like this state of the lobotomy that they've gotten or something?
Right. And I do think there were a couple of instances where like, it did seem like when the parents or like when they would be talking about what was going on with the kids, it did seem like that there were glitches sometimes.
Yeah.
So, like,
true. Like, they talk about, like, if you, like, get in a hard, like, they were like, every time one of them gets a hard on and get all horny, they, like, resort to their horny nature. Like, you have, like, the one kid that's, like, staring at, like, Katie Holmes, and he's, like, then, like, decides he's gonna fight everybody in the grocery store. And then this one girl, like, starts, like, goes over to James Marsden's house and then, like, just undoes her top and starts, like, fondling her breasts and, like, walks out and is like, just fuck me, James Marsden, pretty much. And I'm like, all right, I get you, bro. I feel you.
Yeah, honestly, we're, like, same.
It's, like, so weird that they're, like, animalistic nature then, like, it doesn't just turn them back to who they are. It, like, turns them into just, like, rage monster.
Yeah, no, they like get like super violent. It's like they short circuit or something.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, a pretty girl must fight.
Oh, God, it's just like break her neck.
Like, it was weird, which is weird because like I feel like in the moment where like the guy is like being rejected by Katie Holmes because she's like, dude, no. And then he's like staring at her and then he has his like freak out. I'm like, that tracks versus the other guy that like takes the freaky girl into like the woods and has her blow him doesn't track.
Right.
Like, it just felt weird. Like felt out of character for these characters that we don't even really like know much about.
Right. Well, because that's the only time where it's actually like they're getting what, well, I guess because he was resistant to it in the first place. Like, he wasn't that horny for her, so like maybe that's why You know what I mean? Like,
but then when she starts like giving him a blowjob, he's like into it.
Right. Well, yeah, like, no, oh, that's all true. Right.
And then that's when his whole like psycho nature takes
comes
over.
Out. Yeah.
Like they come out at weird times. And then the other guy's trying to like rape the same one that she rejects, and he goes like crazy in like the grocery store. Also like corners her and like tries to literally like rape her at school. He's like, "Well, I'm gonna have you no matter what."
Yeah, and it was like, whoa, dude. I'm like, that is, yikes.
yeah. But it's, oh, God, and then in the beginning scene, the cops show up, because apparently all the cops care about is that kids are parking. Like, don't you have bigger issues to deal with? Like, who gives a shit? They're literally not hurting anybody, except this kid's killing somebody. So then you have one of the cops notice, like, holy shit, this girl's dead, and then he grabs the gun and, like, shoots that cop dead. And then the other cop is like, oh, don't worry. We'll like, fix this mess. But, like, we don't know why that cop, like, we don't even really learn. Like, I guess we can assume that, like, we learn that there's this group of parents that are, like, all for these kids being a certain way, even mm-hmm. if it means, you know, killing people every so often. You know, it is what it is.
Yeah, right.
And then, like, the cop's, like, fine with that, but then we just never really, like, why is, we don't really know why the cop is in on it, like, right. at all. We don't really learn anything about him.
No, it's true. There's a lot of, like, moving parts in this movie that either they should have addressed it or done something completely different so that, like, yeah, there were just, like, a lot of, like, I don't want to have logic questions when I'm watching a movie like this, but, like, it would pop up a lot. Yeah. Where I'm like, what's going on here?
And Nick Stahl, like, watches it all and sees it all happen and then is kind of cavalier about it.
Yeah, like,
he just, like, goes to school the next day and he's like, oh, yeah, like, I know that girl that everybody said went missing and that she ran away and that cop also went missing. So what are we supposed to assume? The two of them just ran away together? Kind of weird that two people go missing the exact same night who don't know each other or have any connection to each other. But who cares about connecting dots?
Yeah.
he's just like, yeah, I saw her dead. Like, she's dead. And it's like, what? Like, and it's like, why haven't you told anybody? Well, he understands he can't, but he's still, like, not that freaked out about it.
Yeah, like, he, yeah, I think cavalier is the best way to describe it, because, like, yeah, he doesn't even seem, like, yeah, that upset. Like, it's just, like, him talking about, like, oh, yeah, I saw roadkill on the side of the road, like, when I was on my way home.
Yeah, me and my dog just, like, saw a cop get murdered in cold blood and, like, saw this dead girl's body, but, you know, just another day in town.
Yeah, no biggie, but, yeah, so it is this, like, conspiracy. It's, like, these parents want their kids to be, like, I think it's implied that some of these kids were, or not some of them, but that these kids are, you know, like, troubled a little bit. Like, there's the one guy who, like, smashes up his, like, muscle car. So, you know, you just, assume he must have been, like, a tough dude.
Yeah, because he, like, comes into school, he's, like, an asshole, and he's like, yeah, you're all a bunch of assholes. And, like, it's just so, like, I don't know, there's just no, and also it's, like, very weird, like, in the faculty, the whole school, and they have a perfect way of getting the entire school infected,
mm-hmm.
is they're, like, they infect Famke Janssen, and she's the school nurse. And they're like, I think it was her that was the school nurse. Or somebody was, no, Salma Hayek was the school nurse, I think. So they, like, infect Salma Hayek. And then you see that they're able to, like, they're lining up to get shots. And it's them then being turned into, like, it's pretty much Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but a teen version of it done well. And, like, this being, like, a Stepford Wives teen version not done well. So, like, it makes sense that, like, the entire school, aside from, like, Huddy Hutt, Josh Hartnett, and Cutie Cutie Elijah Wood, and, like, his little group being like, yo, holy shit, like, there's something going on. Like, there's only a tiny subset of this school being, like, affected by the Stepford Wives-ness. So, like, in the end, when the shit hits the fan, there's still, like, 98% of this town that, like, just goes on.
Right.
It's not, like, the whole town. Like you know, in the end when James Marsden's like, we're just gonna have to find a new place to live. Like, his parents were dicks, but they didn't, like, die.
Right.
Like, it's not like, oh, like, well, the whole town has literally been overrun by these fucking, like, or at least this subset has been overrun by, like, these aliens, and we have to kill the mother alien to get our lives back. And they do. And then they even turn the people that got turned back into, you know, normal people.
Right.
So, like, the town is able to move on. And it's not just, like, we run away from this town that's half-burning. And by half-burning, I mean there's, like, 10 people on William Sadler's car that go over a cliff and they die. It's not like...
Right.
So it's not like any... The town was really affected by any of this, but we're, like, somehow led to believe that they are. It was
right.
Very weird. Well, I had so many questions.
Exactly. Because, yeah, they're basically... you're right. It's only... It is this, like, group of kids, but, yeah, the whole high school, it doesn't, yeah, once most of those people are gone, like, you'd think it would be fine. I mean, I guess you'd have a little bit of trouble wanting to, like, go back to your parents.
Yes, like, your parents were clearly assholes because they're like, we definitely moved here so you could just get a lobotomy because we want our son back, but we also don't understand enough about the trauma that went on this family. We learn that, oh, okay, he, like, says in passing, my brother committed suicide, like, 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And that, like, we're clearly not dealing with it. And my dad's just like, we're going to have a better life because we're going to move here. But we don't know anything about... James Marsden seems completely together. Are they just afraid that, like, oh, one kid killed himself, so, like, we have to lobotomize the other one so he's perfect and that he won't kill himself?
That's kind of, like, what I was thinking it was. That's like, the vibe I got. Was that they were like, oh, well, clearly, like, Ethan Embry.
Yes, I know, the little flashes of him.
I know.
The 90s like, king.
Right. Well, they're like, oh, no, like, our son killed himself, so we're going to just, like, you know, take, you know, make sure our kid can't do that. That's, like, what I got from it. Like, yeah, very problematic.
It's a very terrible way. Like, had he been a problem child and, like, came into the school like a giant dick, but then again, you need to like him and he has to be likable. But, like, you could still show that he's problematic and still be likable.
Sure.
Like, he's just a punk and you're like, oh, okay, so we think our kid's a punk, so we have to fix him. Because there's nothing really to fix. Like, we understand with Nick Stahl why his parents wanted to fix him, because they're like, oh, he's just a stoner and he's like a C-minus student, and we don't see that his life is going to improve unless we do this.
Right.
Whereas, like, that didn't seem like that with James Marsden at all, so that's why I was like, what? Like, you're that concerned for your child that you're gonna literally have some fucking psycho Bruce Greenwood, like, go into his mind.
Yeah. And it's funny because I was, I recently rewatched another Katie Holmes, like, 90s movie. It was, I can't think of what the name was.
Was it Teaching Mrs. T?
Yes.
I haven't seen that one. Isn't that Helen Mirren?
I don't think it's Helen Mirren, no.
I know it was somebody, like, actually famous as the teacher.
Let's look it up. Because, yeah, I didn't, but anyway, yeah, no, but,
it's
like,
Helen
I remember.
Mirren. It's 100%. It's Helen Mirren.
Oh, shit.
Right?
I didn't... No, it is. It is.
It is.
I did not...
You just
I don't know why I didn't connect that. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's also... I still haven't seen Teaching Mrs. Tingle, but if there's any iota of that movie being good or half good, is that Kevin Williamson wrote the script, but the other half he directed, and I'm not sure how I feel about him as a director, but mm-hmm. as a writer, like... Of course. And that's probably 100% the reason why she wound up in that movie is because he also created Dawson's Creek.
Right. Well, I gotta say, because, like, I remember I watched this movie at, like, a sleepover when I was, like, maybe 10 or 11 and, like, loved it. But, like, it doesn't quite hold up, in my opinion.
I'm sure it doesn't. It's the 90s, you know. And I'm pretty sure that the original title of this was called, like, Killing Mrs. Tingle. And they were like, yeah, you can't just straight be like, well, this movie is about wanting to, like, murder our teacher.
Right. But, yeah. So back to this one, though, it's just... Yeah, I don't know. This one was kind of tough to get through. Like, I was trying to, like, see
And it was under an hour and a half.
Yeah. Somehow felt longer.
Yes. I was like checking and I was like, but then at times I was like, wait, there's only 20 minutes. I'm like, they have to do a lot of wrap up in these 20 minutes.
Like, no, like the pacing was weird too. Like everything, I don't know. This like, one,
this script was also written by this guy named Scott Rosenberg, and he went to BU, and he and this other guy, I don't know, it's called the Fleeter Rosenberg like award, and they give it to like whoever they don't judge it, but like there's a judge of people that it's like, oh, if you submit your script, we think these are like the best short scripts, and like we give you, I think it was just like you get the stupid little award and like $500 or something. I only submitted once and I did not like even make the first round, but one of my friends who had like a really solid script, it was just bullshit, submitted it and got like through the finalist rounds, and then she lost to like an undergrad. We're like, we're freaking, wow. Like, and the script, like, you could read the scripts. His script was, like, trash. And now knowing that, like, this Scott Rosenberg, clearly wildly successful. I'll take the success of his career. And it's weird. He has some movies that I'm just like, well, that is a shit-ass script. Like, this movie. And then you have things like Con Air, shitty, but kind of fun. High Fidelity.
Con Air's fun.
High Fidelity was good. He got nominated for, like, a BAFTA for that. But then you have a bunch of, like, Kangaroo Jack.
Oh my god, holy shit.
Like, it's just like, oh my god. And then he did, he did the Venom script. He did this, so he like had like a break of not doing anything, and then like had Jumanji, the two Jumanji movies, and like Venom. And I don't think he's doing the new Venom though, because the last Venom just really wasn't that good, and I think they really want to try to like get the new Venom to be good.
Right. I actually had a good time watching that movie, but yeah.
It was fine, like, yeah.
The thing is, I mean, there's just so much superhero content right now that, like, you really do have to be, like, you have to have, like, a hook in some way. Because, like, there's a superhero movie coming out every other month.
There's so many. Like, I went to the movies the other night, and before the movie, they had, like, a trailer that was just Marvel. And being like, look at it. They have Marvel movies coming out until like 2024. Just be like, right. Get excited about this. I'm like, that is so much Marvel content. And I'm like, not even like, I'm not a superhero person. I don't give a crap about Marvel. I don't give a crap about DC. Like, I'll see them if they seem somewhat fun.
Right.
But like, I don't care. I'm not excited. I'm not going to sit through a 3.5 hour movie, even if Chris Hemsworth and all the Chris's, you know, Chris Evans are in it. Like, I'm sorry. That's just unnecessarily way too long.
Yeah, for sure. Because, yeah, the last one was, like, 3.5 hours, yes. Right? It was, like, yes. Titanic.
Like, I remember when people, it was, like, final semester at BU, and, like, one of my friends is, like, a Marvel, like, huge super, like, he's a huge, like, DC Marvel, like, he doesn't necessarily like the DC movies, but he likes DC content. So, like, he hopes that the DC movies will be better. But I remember he was like, oh, I'm so excited to get my tickets for what was it, Endgame? And I was like, why? I was like, it's 3 hours.
I know. It's like, what are you trying to do? Like, it's true. Yeah.
Like, at that point, we didn't care about sitting next to strangers. But I went and saw with him and two other people that I went to BU with. The four of us went and saw the Justice League movie. And that in and of itself was long. It's not the 4 hour Snyder cut, but like it was long, but I was like, oh, like Wonder Woman's badass. Like I'll go, I'll see it. Sat through it. I'm like, all right, this is objectively like not a bad, like it's a bad movie, but like it didn't affect me. We went out for drinks after and my friend downed like a thing of Guinness in like maybe 2 seconds. And we were like, what are you doing? He goes, oh my God, that movie was just so bad. And I was like, was it though? I mean, like, did you think it was going to be good?
Like were you expecting like question. Greatness? Yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, it was a Zack Snyder to me, like has only made 2 movies that I think are actually really, really good. And he needs to stick to this genre. I loved the Dawn of the Dead remake. Thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw Army of the Dead, his new zombie movie. Super fun.
Oh, yeah? Okay, that's cool. I'm going to check it out.
Too long. Definitely overlong. Like, there are times where Dave Bautista, like, why are you trying to have him act?
Hey, he can act, though. He was super great in Blade Runner 2049.
Because he cannot act in this.
Well, that's Zack Snyder's fault.
Because they're giving him this, like, epilogue, like, these monologues of, like, how much he loves his daughter. And I'm like, oh, God, can you just get back to killing zombies, please?
Yeah, fucking get over it. Shut like, the hell oh up. God, I don't just care about your daughter.
Yeah, like, so that movie was super fun. And what I didn't know going into it, and it was like, the effects department deserves Oscars for this. Apparently, there's a character in it that that Chris D'Elia played. Like, they shot the entire movie with
him. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
I
then
heard
it
about
came
that.
Out that he was a piece of shit and, like, a rapist and, like, grooming 12-year-old girls. So they're mm-hmm. like, what the fuck are we going to do? Then they were like, Tig Notaro, do you want to film against a green screen every single bit of the part that Chris D'Elia did? And I guess she was like, sure, why not? And it's fucking flawless. She's not even, like, her scenes were shot in front of a green screen, like, months later. And they, like, superimpose her, but, like, doesn't even feel awkward that, like, she's in a scene with somebody who's tall. Like, they nailed the height differential or that,
wow.
like, Chris D'Elia felt too tall. And it worked well because she has sort of, like, that dry, and she's, like, that sort of that, like, I don't want to sound homophobic, but she has that, like, butchy look to her. Like, mm-hmm. that look to her. And it fit for her character actually really well. And in a way that I could never have seen, like, Chris D'Elia being able to remotely pull off. And her comedy fit well with that character, too. And how they, and so it's, and her acting was great enough, or her comedy was great enough to literally be by herself 100% and have it seem flawless.
That's amazing. That's really
like,
cool.
Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, this, like, I didn't even know. And then afterwards, Bobby was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, we were all like, oh, Oscars. Oscars to whoever was the visual effects team for this. And Oscars for her for, like, being able to just, like, create a whole character completely by herself, which probably works for her being, like, stand-up. She's used to being, like, by herself.
Right.
So it's just like, oh, you give somebody, give her a line, and then she could just spew it out however, like, she wants. But it didn't feel like her comedy felt out of place at all, either.
That's crazy. That's such a, like, an amazing, like, feat, because...
Oh, it was incredibly well done. And it, like, just didn't... Like, I know you can superimpose really well, because, like, even in 98 with, like, the Parent Trap, it didn't look like... awkward, like, it looked like
yeah.
they've been
yeah,
able
they
to
look
do
like
that
twins.
So well, so, like, being able to, like, just superimpose her into this scene, it never felt like the lighting was on too, like, all, everything was good, like, because you'd be like, oh, maybe the lighting could be fucked up a bit. It was, like, flawless.
Yeah, like, shit. That sounds really cool.
So that's, like, good, like, that's a good filmmaking when Zack Snyder can actually do good filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
So stick to zombies, Zach. Stick to zombies.
Well, there's, like, a little bit of, like, an irreverence to it, you know? Like, where, like, maybe he doesn't take it as seriously or, like, so seriously. Because you try to watch, like, Man of Steel. And I don't mind Man of Steel. Like, I thought it was okay when I watched it. But that was so serious. I was just like, what am I watching?
That's
right,
the problem
now?
Is he's just, like, making these DC movies that are, like... Like, are you, like, you're trying to do what, like, Nolan did, but, like, Nolan is just better at doing that than you'll ever be.
Yeah.
Like, it's about finding what you're good at. Like, it, even with some of the best directors, like, Scorsese, like, I don't know if he were like, oh, here, Marty, like, try to make this, like, zombie comedy. Like, what? No. like, it would feel weird versus, like, it's like, here's Zack Snyder, like, try to make... like, this 3-hour thing about a brooding superhero. And it's just, it's not in his wheelhouse. And, like, that's totally fine.
Right. Right.
Like, there's certain things I would never even attempt to write. Because I know I just wouldn't be good at them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you should know what you're really good at. And, like, he can do that genre really well. Like, this movie that we just watched, Rosenberg, like, I don't know. You don't know how to write teenagers. I think that's a big problem, too. I think that's with, like, the faculty, all of those teen... Granted, we spend more time with those teenagers in, like, the faculty than we would in this disturbing behavior. And, like, I don't know. I care. Like Rodriguez is good at, like, you know, you can love or hate Rodriguez. That's, like, his genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this, who the hell even directed this one today? I know that Rosenberg wrote it, but, like,
right.
who directed this movie? David Nutter. Okay. He won 3 Emmys.
Oh, for Game of Thrones?
A bunch of Game of Thrones.
Interesting, interesting.
Outstanding directing for Game of Thrones. Yeah, so good for this David. He's like a Game of Thrones guy now. And he's just winning Emmys for that. But like, holy crap.
But see, and I will say that that is a thing about like older white guys. Or I don't know if they're white. That's not, that's
this
irrelevant. But just older men thinking that they understand teenagers because, oh, you know, 30, 40 years ago, they were teenagers. Oh, but, like, they're not in touch.
Yeah, that's why Kevin Williamson was, like, granted, he was, like, young-ish when he wrote Scream. I think he was, like, 22, 23. So he's, like, not separated.
You're still, like, kind of fresh. Yeah. You still remember what it was like being a teenager.
Yeah, whereas, like, you're getting, I don't know, like... I don't know. There's just that, like, yeah, I think I know. Like, straight white men, like, I don't know. I will say, though, The Perks of Being a Wallflower guy, I don't know if he's straight or not, but that's, like, an old white man. And he is really good at what he does. Like, that Perks of Being a Wallflower is, like, really well done. So, like, some of them can do it, you know?
Sure. And I will say that, like, I do think, like, when you have a certain angle when it comes to, like, a coming-of-age story, like, something like Perks of Being a Wallflower, there's, like, a lot of personal stuff to that, obviously. There's, like, a lot attached to that, like, dealing with abuse, dealing with being gay, like, you know, like, I think no matter how old you are, if you have dealt with any of those issues, I think you can relate to it. Whereas in this, I don't even really understand like where, like, they really did just were like, hey, let's make the Stepford Wives and make it with teens, and like, but like, didn't really think it out, like,
and like, yeah, you have Katie Holmes is supposed to, like, the whole time Nick Stahl's like, oh yeah, she's trash. And they're friends, and like, she's kind of like, oh, I hate you, blah blah blah, but it's like, oh yeah, she's like town trash, but we like don't know anything about her, like, why she's trash. We see that she, like, lives in a trailer park on the, like, wrong side of town, but, like, we don't know anything about her family. But, like, she doesn't seem disturbed at all.
No, no. Although I did think it was funny, because, like, you know how usually when people talk about being, like characters that are poor, I did think it was, like, the one time where, like, oh, yeah, she is actually, like, in a trailer somewhere. Like, she is poor, poor. Whereas, like, you know how, like, in, I think it's Pretty in Pink, where they're like, oh, she's so poor, she can't do this, she can't do that. But they live in, like, a 2-story house in the suburbs somewhere.
Yeah. And then I looked it up, so I thought it, but I don't want to say it. So Kevin Williamson also wrote The Faculty. So that's why The Faculty is also really good.
Interesting. Interesting, yeah.
It's not as good as Scream, but it's still really good. And, like, in The Faculty, like, you understand the dynamics of, like, every character. You see Elijah Wood is, like, beaten then, like, by all of these, like, they're just terrible to him. I'm pretty sure in the beginning they, like, smash his dick off a flagpole, like, in the yeah. beginning of it. Like, they're horrific to him. And then you have Sean Hattasy, who is, it's funny that Sean Hattasy is, like, I think he's adorable, but you have him being, like, the jock of the school. He no more looks like he would be a jock. But you have him being, like, I suck at school. Like, I had got a D, and then, you know, the teacher changed it to an A because he had, like, a really good game. And you see, like, the internal struggle of, like, I'm stupid. Like, I'm not stupid, but, like, I worked hard to get that D. Like, and mm-hmm. you're just going to change it because I'm good at athletics. So you see that, like, right there, that's way more character development than anybody had in the movie that we're talking about.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, and it's like one line that's not even a throwaway. It's like, it fits well within the situation of, like, him telling it, you know, and him mm-hmm. and you seeing, like, everybody's, like, sort of struggles versus in this, like, nobody really has any struggle. And, like, when he talks about, like, his brother committing suicide, it, like, felt, it didn't come off like we knew something, like, he would have these, like, dreams, we would see a picture, but excuse me, like, we just didn't know enough for it to know how it affected him. He, like, seemed pretty well adjusted, all in all. It's just, like, the fact that the family wouldn't talk about it.
Right, right. Like, that he doesn't seem that bad. Like, again, like, we keep going back to, like, why these parents came here specifically because they wanted to give him the lobotomy. And it just, it was like, well, okay, so, like, he seems fine, though. Like, doesn't seem that upset.
Like, also, the 90s was obsessed. They were obsessed with the Pacific Northwest. It's true. I love the Pacific Northwest. It's gorgeous. Like, there's that aesthetic. But there are so many.
All of the classic ones. Fear. I guess maybe, too, because, like, some of these, like, guys look really hot in flannel.
Maybe that's it. Like, this one was. I was like, it's Washington. That makes sense. Okay.
Where else,
like,
would it be?
Teen movies in the 90s just were like, we want to go for that, like, cold, dark, like, that cold, dark feel, which is why I always find funny about, like, with Riverdale, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't know where Riverdale is. And, like, I was like, are you fucking shitting me? Riverdale's in the Pacific Northwest. It literally screams Vancouver.
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, we just are nondescript. I'm like, oh, that shit ain't descript. Or one time they were trying to be like, oh, yeah, it's like, the Northeast. I'm like, that is not the Northeast. That is the Northwest. But, yeah, so this, like, screams, like, and you have the shots that, like, look very pretty because the outdoors there is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this, like, sleepy Washington town that, you know, this one guy, they're allowing him to literally, like, alter the personality of your children. And, like, these parents are just, like, fine with it.
Yeah. They're like, no, sorry, my kid's a problem kid and I don't want to deal, so.
But it's kind of weird. There was also one scene where, like, Nick Stahl is like, yeah, like, I know where they all have, like, town meetings and they talk about it. And, like, you have one mother go stand up and say, like, my kid went away on a retreat and he came back and he's, like, better and he's, like, a good student, but he's kind of a dick to everybody outside of this, like, club of people. So my question is, did that mother not know? Like, are they actually, like, taking kids too? Because that mother,
well, that's
kinda
what
seemed.
I was wondering, because she didn't. Yeah, she didn't seem to be, like, in the loop.
Yeah. So I'm like, wait, are they just, like, taking kids too? And then you see, like, Nick Stahl finds out that his parents are, like, wanting him to be next. So he's mm-hmm. like, oh, I'm going to be next. And, like, is next. And then, I don't know. It's just he goes from being, like, an interesting, kind, maybe one of the more interesting characters to just getting turned to one of them.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay. Like, you can't even save him. There's no point in, like, so now it's all about James Marsden trying to, like, save himself and, like, Katie Holmes.
Right.
Because he didn't believe. And it's funny that, like, Nick Stahl, somebody who's, like, understands that these people are, like, psycho, didn't, like, I get he had a gun and then James Marsden's like, I'm going to fight you for that gun. They're very lucky it didn't go off and kill you.
I know, right?
But I was, like, waiting for it. I'm like, oh my God, the movie just ends. But no. So you just have that moment where he's like, I'm going to take your gun. But it still feels weird that he didn't, like, I don't know, like, try to get as far away from this town.
Like, try to skip town, like, go somewhere, hide.
He's just like, oh, it is what it is. It's happening. Like,
yeah.
He comes into school the next day and he's just like clean cut Nick Stahl and you're like, okay. And then Katie Holmes tries to go over and be like, I'm gonna talk to him, like, and they're like, no,
yeah,
you're a slut. So it's so weird that, like, I think the really weird part of this was that it only affected, like, six people, but mm-hmm. yet it was like this issue. It's not like I thought literally it was going to be that everybody changed.
Right.
But, like, they were going to come into that cafeteria because there's plenty of scenes in the cafeteria where you see, like, the different, like, you know, there's the Mean Girls moment where he's like, these are the jocks, these are the stoners, these mm-hmm. are these. So you see, like, the subsets. And I thought one day they were just going to come in and everybody was going to, like, be in khakis.
And yeah.
Like, except for them. And then they would go after Nick Stahl and maybe convert him. So then it becomes, like, this bigger issue rather than, like, he's like, I'm going to take your gun because I don't believe you. And I think you're just going to, like, accidentally shoot somebody. So I'm taking your gun. And then the next day, he's like, oh, my God, you're different. I'm like, yeah, he, like, warned you.
He told you.
He kind of showed you. There was enough evidence for you to be like, this is a little hinky.
Right. No, it's so funny. Yeah, just, like, so there's just, like, so many, like, things that, like, don't make sense. And, like, again, all these moving parts that, like, just don't come together. But It does, like, they even, so at the very end of the movie, they try to do this, like, you know, I guess it's kind of like, I was thinking it was sort of like the twist at the end of Mother May I Sleep with Danger, you know, where, like, it, you know, at the end of that movie when, like, some girl talking about her boyfriend and then, like, of course, then it's Preston, there he is, ooh. Mm. But, like, they do it with this, with Nick Stahl's character, where, like, you know, it's like,
we know he gets away because it's, like, so it ends with, like, William Sadler, who has both been in really good movies and very shitty movies. He, like, he also apparently knows that there's something going on, but we know nothing about him. Other than he pretends to be stupid and he's the janitor, and we know he's not stupid because he reads Kurt Vonnegut. I guess that's the line of people that are stupid and are not stupid. If you read The Slaughterhouse Five, you're not stupid. But if you don't read it, you're clearly an idiot. So it's like, okay. And then we learn that, like, they're, like, sensitive to, like, really high-pitched sounds. And so he, like, knows this, and he, like, literally gets his entire car with, like, giant speakers and just blasts it through town. So they're, like, attacking his car, and he, like, drives it over a bridge, and they all die. But, like, who is he? Like, why is he different from anybody in town? Why is he the only person in town that is, like, not okay with, like, what's going on? It seems like, clearly, like, since there's only a handful of people that are getting turned, there's clearly a bunch of people that aren't turning their children. So why are these people not concerned? Why do they not care? Or does he only see things because he's, like, the janitor, so he's, like, more observant of what's going on?
Right.
Like, these are questions that, like...
Well, and what's funny, I think, I was on the trivia for this, and apparently... like, a bunch of shit got cut. Like, a bunch of storylines, a bunch of scenes. Like, they, like, really trimmed it down a bunch. So I feel like that, like, a lot of things that we're complaining about maybe were in other scenes that, like, got axed.
Like,
you know?
My question is, like, what do you... So, yeah, maybe it's really not the script. Maybe it's just the... So what is the studio seeing... That they're like, oh, yeah, just, like, they're not going to ask questions. Like,
yeah, just cut that. Well, I think, too, maybe it is just, like, they're like, oh, well, we're trying to make, like, a teen movie. Like, we got to keep it at an hour 20. But, like, again, like we were just saying, we're, like, it felt longer. Like, it felt, there were times I was watching this and I felt like I'd been watching it for, like, ever.
Yeah, or it's, like, I always say, like, everything begins with a script. Like, Scream is, like, an hour and a half. And it's perfectly told, like, mm-hmm. without, like, you can read the script, and that script is almost verbatim what Wes Craven brought to the screen. So, like, what Kevin Williamson wrote is what we see, versus, like, this guy clearly couldn't get to the point within, like, you know, those 90 pages.
Right. So, yeah, because you can't, like, it would be very hard to... take a movie that, like, you've clearly written to be, like, maybe 2 hours and 20 minutes, and then shave off an hour.
Yeah, and then you're gonna be missing a ton of stuff. So it's, like, that's why I always try to be, like, how can you tell something perfectly in 90 minutes? Like, people can say what they want about The Hunt. I love that movie, and that movie is, granted, it's Damon Lindelof, like, but still, it's,
I mean,
like,
come on, yeah.
90... The script is exactly 90 pages. The movie is exactly 90 minutes. And you know, you have no questions when you leave because it's all been answered and it's all been told perfectly in 90 minutes. To me, that's, like, greater than writing, like, a 3-hour epic. Because mm-hmm. you got so much time to do so much shit. If you can tell a story in 90 minutes, like, to me, that's, like, that's pristine.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie was not told well in 90 minutes. It was under 90 minutes, but it was not told well, what, like 88 minutes? No.
Yeah, so what is... Okay, so there's this thing on Wikipedia where it says, after filming was completed and director David Nutter edited his director's cut, MGM took the film away from him and had several different versions re-edited and shown to test audiences. Eventually, an 83-minute-long version was the one selected for theatrical release. Many cut scenes from the film focused more on plot and character development. Cuts made to the film were so severe that Nutter thought about having his name removed from the credits.
Okay, so imagine if this movie was actually good.
Also, yeah, can you imagine? We gotta try to get the, we gotta get our hands on the director's cut and see if
right?
we can.
David Nutter, let me see this. But imagine, like, test audiences are terrible. Like test audiences ruined Fatal Attraction.
Yeah, first of all, whew.
Ooh, it's just a way better ending, a way better movie. So test audiences just don't want, I just don't know. They just don't want, Michael Douglas to be the villain. And, like, sure.
Yeah. But also, too, like, it just, I always wonder what the situations are for test audiences, because are they showing them an actual final product? Or, like, are there other factors involved? Like, is there still, like, coloration that needs to be done? Is there music? Like, are they getting as close to the experience as you can get? Or are you watching, like, someone
in the editing room? It's usually a rougher cut. Because I've done, like, in Vegas, you can go to the MGM, and you can watch either, like, a Showtime, a CW, or, like, a CBS show. And you can review it. And, like, they'll sometimes come out and say, like, this has not been, like, fully edited, or like the coloring's off, or like, yeah, please ignore that. Like, don't have that be a factor into your, you know, focus on the story, focus on the characters, like what you're doing in. And it's usually just the dial that you like turn up if you like things, or you turn down. And then they ask you a couple of like questions after, but it's never really anything like, I don't know. It doesn't beg the question, like, how can we improve this? Really, it just begs, like, is this product as is, like, good, and would you watch it, really?
Right.
And sometimes, like, I saw the Two Broke Girls pilot, and the first two seasons of Two Broke Girls, for, like, being CBS, are, like, thoroughly enjoyable. That show just, like, exploded, like, in, like, season 3 and beyond, so, like, I enjoy it. I was like, this is the better one. And then I saw, like, a couple other ones, and I was like, these are shit. And randomly, I saw not the pilot of Supergirl, which I like. I like the pilot of Supergirl on CBS. They showed episode 2, which I will still stand by episode 2 being the shittiest episode of season 1. Episode 2 and I was like, this show sucks. I was like, this show is terrible. But then I was like, oh, I'll still like watch it when it comes out. And then I was just like, why did they show episode 2?
That's interesting.
Like, did they know it was kind of shitty and they were kind of trying to gauge? They're like, oh, this is the shittiest of like the 13 episodes or 20, however, like we did. You know, that show was so much better on CBS, if nothing for budget. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, because CBS, so that's better. Good money. For yeah. sure.
And so like all of the effects in season 1 are actually really good. And then in season 2, you're like, oh, these are bad.
Right.
Yeah, so, like, that's sort of my experience with being a test audience. But, yeah, I don't know what, like, were they just like, oh, no, there's just, I know too much about James Marsden. I just want to look at his beautiful face.
Boo! And, no,
like, and there's no development that, like, you understand that, like, him and Katie Holmes, he's kind of, like, looking at her. And she kind of is like, but she doesn't, like, do anything that, like, would be indicative of her liking him.
Right.
Like, she's just kind of like, yeah, my friend's a little, like, crazy, so yeah, I'm gonna go with you on your hunch.
Yeah.
To, like, check out where this guy used to, where Bruce Greenwood used to work. And then when they go there, they find out that, like, his daughter was, like, one of his first test subjects.
Right.
And then he's like, well, yeah, she was just, like, that was just, like, unfortunate. And I'm like, well, you're cold. But, like,
yeah,
we also don't know his motivation. We understand that he was trying to fix his daughter, but, like, he didn't seem to care about that. Like, it's just like, oh, yeah, and that could just move to another town and just keep doing this.
Right.
So he's like, well, I'm going to kill you. But, like, so James Marsden, because everybody just goes over this, like, over this cliff into this, like, what was it? Into this, like, waterfall and just dies.
Mm-hmm.
But except for Nick Stahl. And we knew Nick Stahl wasn't there. Like, we saw it. So it's like, did you not think that, like, maybe two or three of them were going to, like, escape? But it's not like they know how to. See, this is the other thing. If this was, like, the faculty and you saw that one of them got away, you know that they have the ability to take over other people's bodies.
Right.
He doesn't have the ability to perform a lobotomy. So it's just going to be his suggestion that you should be better? Oh, yeah, cool. Fuck
yeah, because like what I guess I got from it though is like, is he gonna just start killing these kids?
That's like, I guess that's the only thing is that like they were afraid like if you let these people out in society that like, yeah, they don't have impulse control. So like, I guess he's just gonna be a murderer. But like, yeah, okay,
but like whatever, so he's like
run of the mill murderer. Because exactly. At this point, they create them that they're sociopaths. So, like, you just created a sociopath and let one more sociopath go out in the world. It's not as if you're letting somebody out that could then breed all of these sociopaths.
Right, right.
Like, that would be way more terrifying. Knowing that Nick Stahl is, like, alive, you're like, okay.
Yeah, you're like, all right, whatever. Bye, kids. Guess you had a good time on Earth.
You're probably all going to die. But, like, you're not going to be turned into, like, this thing because only Bruce Greenwood had the capability of doing that. And he did.
Yeah. So, yeah. where would you put this on the garbage meter?
Oh, this is, like, just,
like, I almost don't want to call it garbage because I feel like
it's even worse. Like
it's worse than like garbage.
Hot garbage, but hot garbage is still kind of like fun. Like, because I feel like the garbage meter we have is like really like, even if it's a bad movie, but you had a bunch of fun with it. I'm like, oh, it's hot garbage.
Yeah,
like, this movie was just bad, and like maybe it was not supposed to be bad. Now knowing how unbelievably edited it was,
yeah,
like makes me believe that it could have been better, but like with what we have right now, this is a terrible movie from like top
yeah.
to bottom. It's not like the acting is bad, but like those are all charismatic actors, you know,
the yeah, one with no,
the,
like,
the shittiest career of them is probably Katie Holmes, and that's because Scientology making her marry a gay guy and ruining her career. Now she can at least be in love with Jamie Foxx, and that's awesome, but like her career is really nothing. You were in Jack and Jill.
Like, yeah, but I mean, Nicole Kidman got out, so...
Yeah, but there's a difference between Nicole Kidman level
well, sure,
of
sure,
acting
like,
and Katie Holmes' level of acting. And at that point, like, she won. Nicole Kidman refused to go into Scientology, so she was never in it. She never
Oh, that's interesting.
One. And yeah, she like flat out was like, no. And her career was already like incredible.
Was fine, yeah. Really she never had lulls. With, that's true.
Yeah, never really wound up. And there's, like, just a level of who she was with who he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, them being, like, the 80s and the 90s and, like, the biggest, you know, of the stars. And him sort of finding, like, you know, the list of all the girls that he can date. And they're like, oh, check this one. Like, you know, she had a crush on you when she was a little girl. So, of course, if you, like, make a play at her, it's probably going to be easier than other people on this list. So, like, they sort of know how to play the system, I think, you know?
Right.
So, like, her career is just whatever. Like, Nick Stahl has kind of popped up in, like, weird things. And then James Marsden's, like, on Westworld. Like, he's
fine. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. And he'll pop up in the occasional comedy sometimes. Yeah. And he's actually pretty funny.
Oh,
or he's always
love...
just, like, the person you leave. Like, the one yeah. you don't want to be your boyfriend for some
I
reason.
I love him in the Death at a Funeral remake. And he's Zoe Saldana's, like, white boyfriend. And he has, like, no idea how to act around, like, her family. And, like, so he's like, what do I do? And her brother's like, oh, here, just take this pill. It'll relax you. And it's, like, a drug. And he winds up, like, naked on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great in it. Like, I love him. Like,
yeah.
He's a delight. He's an absolute delight.
Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. Because, like, garbage, yeah, for us, garbage implies, like, that it's, that we had a great time. Like, that it's like junk food when we talk about garbage.
Yeah,
we talk
absolutely.
So, like, garbage is always said lovingly. This is not garbage.
No, it's just not a, but I get, like, you're, like, in your 20s, and they're like, here's a movie. You're, like, not gonna be like, oh, no, please don't put me in this movie. Like, of course you're gonna be in this.
Oh, no, come on. Listen, I'll be in any bad movie that'll have me.
Oh, of course.
Come on. But, yeah, and I would say, too, like, I don't even really think of there being any scenes that are, like, batshit moments. Because, like,
no.
Everything is done so, like, laissez-faire, like, very cavalierly that, like, even, like, things that are supposed to be shocking, like, you're just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, like, the kids freak out in the
grocery store was maybe the most out there moment, but it's still like I don't know, it felt within the realm of like, oh yeah, this could happen. Like, okay.
Right.
Like, it was just, yeah. It was just not good. I wouldn't even recommend you needing to see it.
Yeah, guys, we watched it so you don't have to. Absolutely. So there's that.
I was hoping it was going to be fun. It, like, sounded like it could have been fun, but...
Right. Well, no, and that's the thing is that, like, I feel like for the... Like, we have a pretty good track record. Like, there's probably only one episode every... I want to say, like, 3 months or so where it's, like, a movie that's just, like, that's, like, tough to get through. Mm-hmm. For the most part, like, I can always have fun with, like, a lot of the things that we pick. So, the occasional lemon isn't so bad.
Isn't bad. No, no, no. We'll hopefully have a lot more fun ones coming up.
So, yeah, that's this week's episode, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with some new stuff.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Sweet, sweet.